Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 5th of December, recording at 9:36 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first a quick look at the highlights here today. Following on from last week's rallies, we had pretty firm markets in Asia, with the exception of the China A shares, although Hong Kong was higher by 0.73%. Strong gains in Europe, the top one being the Italian MIB index, up 2.91%. In the Americas, we also had decent gains. Then Wall Street gave up the majority of its gains before rallying again. And the S&P and the NASDAQ were both up just over 1%, respectively, but they had a bigger gain prior to that. The S&P had been 10 points higher, and it's currently at 1257. Not a bad performance overall, though, on top of what we saw last week. Not without reason, which I'll come to in just a moment. In long-dated government bond prices, bond futures, the U.S. contracts are unchanged in here to a fraction steadier. The European contracts were a little bit weaker. The US dollar eased a little bit. See the Aussies back up to 102.66. The euro, it's pretty much unchanged, 133.94. Sterling up a little bit against the dollar, 156.42. Now, precious metals, though, were another story. They got hit, and having been unchanged up on the day early on, they closed with losses. Gold is currently at 17.22.45. That's down just over $24. Silver's down 60 cents as I speak to 32.08. Palladium came down over 12 to 6.33. Platinum down 26 to 15.22. Now, industrial metals fared better. They were mixed on the day. Copper down, nickel up. Those are the main changes. In the grain and bean complex, we saw rallies fade and turn into small losses. Oil contracts, small losses. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, stock markets, we had the big sigh of relief on the discussions and progress being made in Europe. And, of course, that had occurred against the background of a consensus. I was astonished by this, but I thought, what am I missing here? But, see, a consensus saying that the euro was going to break up. Now, it's never been the Fuller Money view, although I've often said that I never assumed that the euro was a club that you could only join and never leave. But more on that in a moment. But the big catalyst in here today is, well, in addition to the fact that the markets clearly like the progress that is being made in Europe prior to that big confab announcement on the 9th, but policies being made daily in here, as you've seen, and also being leaked to the press. But it's the market reaction that counts in terms of credibility. And we have seen a big plunge in the yields, the bond yields for both Spain and Italy, particularly for Spain. For instance, I think around the beginning of last week, those Spanish 10-year yields were up around, 6.75 or so, and they're now down just above 5, so down 175 basis points, nearly, about 170 basis points. So it's a big drop. And clearly, what has happened is that there's bond vigilantes who are heavily short Italian and particularly Spanish bonds, have run for cover here, and these have fallen right back down to their lows that they were seeing last August, September, and October. Now, the Italian bonds haven't come down that much, but they had shown enough climactic action for us to be pretty convinced, as you may recall from the audios and also the written commentary, that they had peaked, important peaks, medium-term peaks, at least last week. And again, as to say, they've fallen further in here. So that's good news. Now, that has not happened with the Portuguese and the Greek yields. The Greek yields continue to push higher. The Portuguese yields came off a little bit today, but not that much. So there are no prizes for guessing which countries may not make it. And if we lose any of the so-called peripheral countries within the Eurozone, and I think they would have to say, look, we can't meet this austerity and the other demands, and we're going to need to pull out and devalue and whatever. So if any two countries are going to do that, we know exactly who they are, and it'll be Greece first and then Portugal. Now, Italy and Spain, I think, are going to remain in. I think the euro is going to hold together. And I think those bond yields will come lower because all the austerity disciplines are being put in place, and there are going to be big penalties this time around for anybody. Well, basically, I think the Dutch finance minister had recommended this, and it makes sense to me as a policy that if you don't play by the rules here, the upshot is expulsion from the euro. So it has to be tough for it to hold and for it to have any kind of credibility in the marketplace. Well, you could say that the European politicians and finance ministers, after all the partying in the last many months, they feel like they probably feel as if they've been through the tortures of the damned. Well, they have, but I think they are succeeding in putting together a package, and that doesn't solve all the huge debt problems, as we know. That's a decade-long project, easily. But can they make this viable? Well, I think they can certainly come up with some credible rules that involve the whole much much closer fiscal union, and I think they can survive this immediate crisis because then once all the austerity measures are in place, then the ECB has already indicated that it will become more active. The bigger long-term challenge is how to generate growth, but this is not some sort of magic mystery here. They're going to need less socialism, and they're going to need so fewer entitlements, basically. And they're going to have to pay for hard work, and pay properly for hard work. I bet they do it. Okay. What else now? So, stock markets, where are we actually left in this situation? Not a bad environment here overall, considering that, as I mentioned earlier, that just the whole world seemed to think that the euro was finished. It's going to break up. So, what are we left with? We have a US Fed that's very accommodative. We have these growth economies led by Brazil, which has had now had three interest rate cuts, and with much of Asia now participating. China hasn't cut interest rates yet, neither has India, but China has lowered reserve requirements, And India's probably got rates on hold here right now. But the point is, we're moving from restrictive monetary policies towards something more accommodative. And stock markets like that, as I've said on many occasions, there's no better tailwind for stock markets than accommodative monetary policy, or conversely, headwind than restrictive monetary policy. Now, what about the ECB? And I think it's already on the cards. I expect the ECB's own version. They can call it what they want, but it'll be a quantitative easing type of measure. Now, that really should be a very useful tailwind behind equities. Now, there are all sorts of other factors. It's not just monetary policy, obviously. But that's not a bad environment overall. And this has been a tough year here so far. So it may end, I would be melodramatic to say on a high, but it'll end, I think, with most of us feeling a little bit better than we have in the last few months. So, and leading the way, you know, we have the U.S. NASDAQ, we have the ASEAN group of markets, and we have the autonomies, these big multinational, successful multinational companies leveraged to the global economy. And I think they're going to continue to lead for a while. And they include high yielders, very important, very important sector. Okay, what about the long-dated government bond yields? Well, when you get Mr. Bernanke promising to keep buying, to keep those yields down, he can do that. He can do that for a while longer, and the banks are still recapitalizing. So, but I think we definitely see some topping action in the futures prices, which means we see some basing action in the yields. And I think probably, though, we won't get too much in the way of fireworks, but on a longer term basis, I'm very much in the school that the yields, these ultra low yields that we've seen below 2% for 10-year bonds, those are unsustainable and move higher. May even include the JGBs this time around. In terms of currencies, U.S. dollar has been described as the cleanest dirty shirt in the West, at any rate. And, well, I don't think we'll get any huge gyrations. You can make a fundamental case for seeing a somewhat weaker euro and a somewhat weaker pound against the U.S. dollar, but I don't expect any big drama among those three currencies anytime soon. What I do expect is, as confidence improves in the global economy, now it's going to happen slowly. We're still in a difficult period here. Still in a difficult period. But as confidence does gradually improve, and the monetary easing and the push for a little bit more growth from the growth economies will certainly help, then I think that we'll see the resources currencies and the growth economy currencies strengthening once again. And I think the Indian rupee, for instance, is already it fell to a new low against U.S. dollar, or the dollar rallied to a new high against the rupee. I think that moves over. And but again, I don't expect big drama from these currency markets. I think if we get a bullish surprise, I think it's likely to be in stock markets. There's quite a bit of cash on the sidelines here, while everybody's been discounting pretty much all the terrible things that we can worry about. Now, elsewhere, commodities. We have continued to see a reset in commodity prices overall. My own view is that the industrial metals are cheap, and that they're in a support building phase now. They've probably seen the end of their declines, and that they will gradually range somewhat higher. Crude oil remains a little bit too high for my comfort, but I know there's plenty of demand. And supply is still struggling to keep up. If you want a really decent worry, I'd forget the Eurozone for a while, and I'd worry about production in what's going to happen after the U.S. pulls out of Iraq. Hopefully, it'll be stable, but would you bet on that? I wouldn't, and it would be very worrying if we were to see Iraq's oil production jeopardize. Then, in the loose cannon category, we've got Iran's government and tightening sanctions because of their nuclear program. Are we going to see less oil coming out of Iran? That will be a problem. And then some of the other Arab countries are not all that stable, or some of the Arab countries, I should say. Iran is not as a Persian country, but some of the Arab countries are not very stable, is my point. And so there are risks to supplies and risks elsewhere around the globe as well. Now, so we're going to need a bit of luck in here, along with favorable policies for increasing shale oil in particular. I think that's a big one. I'd like to see that technology spread faster than it is spreading. And the real disaster would be a spike in crude oil prices. Veteran subscribers have heard me say that many times, and you've lived through the cycles when those spikes in crude cause recessions. And with a weak global economy today, if we were to see a $10 to $20 spike to the upside, that would cause real problems. It would tip more of the world into recession. So hopefully we avoid that. Hopefully prices range somewhat lower. That would be very good news. Then that would underpin stock markets further, and because it would underpin global GDP growth. So, you weigh it all up here. Well, I haven't mentioned the foods. We've certainly had a reset in food prices, and that's very good news. Very good news for the global economy. It lowers inflationary pressures. So you weigh it all up, and we're not in some sort of sweet spot, but we're in a far better situation, I think, for markets than we really were, or than many people have been forecasting. And hopefully we'll have a little bit more money making, a few more money making opportunities in 2012, and not quite so much volatility. Last but not least, what about precious metals? Well, I think they were disappointed in here. Now let me restart that. On precious metals, why did they come down in here today? My guess is because they have a proportion of holders, or there were a proportion of investors in the precious metals who were holding that just because they thought the euro was going to blow up. And so that hasn't happened, so some of them are coming out. That's my theory on this, at any rate. But overall, the patterns indicate support building. That suggests to me that they're going higher over the medium term. And on that note, all the best.